The other day I had a very humbling experience that I've had before. Was out in walking and was caught in a snow squall. If you've ever been in the situation, you'll understand what I mean. Or maybe when it's snowing very hard, those great big flakes, it gets so quiet, doesn't it? It's just a quietness that you can't experience anywhere else. And you can't hear any sound around you because the snow deadens the sound waves, you know, as you're walking along. And you stand there and you can close your eyes and you can imagine that you are the only person on the earth and what that must be like. I've been in the deep woods of Maine. Some people have said to me, I just wish I could move off into the woods somewhere way out in the wilds and just live by myself. I'd be an awful lot better off. And I disagree. I say, no, I know you would not be better off at all. You'd go crazy. I've been in those situations in the deep woods of Maine, even at nighttime when the snow, believe it or not, was 3 feet deep. And as we walked down in the nighttime sky, there were more stars than I had ever seen in my life because there was nothing around us. It was black, dark. The only light we had was the light of the stars, which actually lit up the snow to the point you could see without a light. And it was as if we were the last people on earth. And I can imagine what Adam and Eve must have felt like being on earth, being the first created man and woman. And I realized that we have a lot in common with them in our existence. It brings about the question of our existence in terms of how did I get here and why am I here? What's my purpose at all on this earth? And these are feelings that are common to all people from Adam and Eve right down to you and I here today. And we see that there's a lot of things common. First of all, that God comes first to us. He first comes to us. We don't go to Him. He reveals Himself to us to make Himself known. Secondly, He gives us statutes and laws and consequences for not following those laws. He did with Adam and Eve, He does with us today. Thirdly, we still sin, don't we? We still pick that forbidden fruit. We still disobey God. We still don't take Him seriously sometimes. We still let the enemy confuse us and convince us that that way is a better way when it's really not. But lastly, and the one I like most of all, He still forgives us and makes a way, like He did with Adam and Eve. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he told them that this was God's plan before the creation of the world, that God would forgive us and make a way. This was God's plan before the world was created. And Paul told the Ephesians that it pleased God to do it that way. God did it for His pleasure. See, that He created all these things and created you and I and made a way for us to be with Him forever. So in the coming weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to explore the questions of who, what, when, where, why of our existence. And maybe not necessarily in that order. And we're going to finish off with the question that a lot of people are going to be asking along the way. How can I fulfill my purpose here on earth for the glory of God? First of all, we have to ask the question, where did we come from? Where did we come from? Now, this is a debate, a very hot topic today in our society. You know, we are a nation and a world that is growing intellectually, in my opinion, backwards, because as we grow intellectually and learn more, we think, and grow smarter what's happening, we are actually growing away from our Creator. And it's creating a race of people that are very confused, not smart. My smartphone is not a smartphone. It's a confused phone, to be honest with you. So we have to ask the question, where did we come from? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27, we read some of this. But first, we have to go all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, in the beginning, there couldn't have been nothing. Because if God didn't exist and there was absolutely nothing, there would have been no one to create all that is. So the Bible tells us in the beginning, God, which meant God existed before all things. So God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in our intellectual age, we have all different ways that God did this. Some people believe that God did it through a Big Bang. There's a Big Bang theory that there was nothing, there wasn't even God, and then all of a sudden one day there was a big explosion. Well, that's absolutely impossible, because if there was nothing to explode, you see. So there had to be something in the beginning to create all that is. And we say, well, that's what God did. God created the heavens and the earth through the Big Bang. And then as the Big Bang happened, everything went out and expanded, and little by little things evolved, and all of a sudden, somehow, there were living organisms in the mud and the muck swimming around that evolved into complex human beings. Folks, that is scientifically and theologically wrong. The laws of thermodynamics and the laws of entropy and entropy teach that when there is energy given off like that, things do not become more complex. They become less complex, you see. So in order for things to end up in the complexity of human beings, that is scientifically and theologically impossible. That wasn't God's plan. That isn't how it happened. It couldn't have happened that way, you see, because in the expansion of all things, things get less and less complex. And I don't know about you, but I know I did not come from some organism sliming around in a mud in a swamp somewhere. Granted, I like to slime around and walk around in swamps today looking for the stinky old ducks, but that's not where I came from, you see. And in that, there's no glory to God our Creator. How did God create all these things? Well, the Bible just simply says God spoke. Let there be, and there was. All right, so we have to have faith and trust that that's all that's important, that God spoke, and through His spoken power, everything was created, the heavens and the earth. And God said each day that it was good, you see. God said that it was good. Another thing in people thinking that God created things in the Big Bang is that the Big Bang would have created disorder, not order, and the Bible tells us God's a God of order. So it wasn't God's intention to do it that way. God spoke, and in God's own way, He created the heavens and the earth, and we have to trust that and understand that trusting that is having true faith. Figuring it out is not. And that's why we will never figure it out, because that's not faith, and that's not what God wants. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It tells us in our reading today, then God said, after He had created the heavens and the earth, and the earth and all the creatures and the trees, He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all living creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Now, what does this mean for us? It also tells us in chapter 2, verse 7, I have written here in my notes, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So God created all that was. He took dust from the ground and breathed, formed the man in God's own image, and breathed into him the breath of life. Now, being created in the image of God meant that we were special above all the created things, that we have not only God's spirit of life in us, but yet we have the ability to reason and to understand the way other things can't. See? Being created in the image and likeness of God, He created us male and female. So we came from God. We came from God, and God saying, let us create. Now, who is the us? There's always the question of who the us is. Some people say it was the angels and all the heavenly hosts, but theologically they weren't created yet. The us that God is talking about, when you understand the ancient Hebrew words for God and the concept of God, is not that God was many gods, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, had a pluralistic sense to him, about him. you see. And we know that pluralistic sense is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God in one, the Trinity. And John tells us in his Gospel that through Christ, everything was made. The Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father were there in the purpose of creating. And their purpose, as they said, let us create man in our image. So here we are, male and female, as He created us. What's our purpose here? Why did He do this? What was the purpose behind all this? Did He just do it on a whim, just kind of as a joke, or did He do it with a purpose? You know, sometimes as I get older, the aches and pains, I kind of look to God and I say, is this really a joke, God? You folks know what I'm talking about. It just seems like life's just a funny joke sometimes. Like, wow, God, You created me, and now here I am. I can hardly move. I can hardly walk. I'm sick. I have this. I have that going on in my life. What is our purpose? What's my purpose? God blessed them, and He said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, let's understand for a moment what this means. God blessed them, and He said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, we were to procreate, you see, and to subdue the earth. Well, to subdue the earth implies to bring the earth into subjection or conquer, in a sense that the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there He put the man that He had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. You see, in the sense of subduing the earth, we were to take the earth and bring it under our subjection and to conquer the earth. The earth was a very hostile place at that point, you see. And as time goes on, we have become caregivers, caretakers of the earth, and we are to rule all living creatures. The King James Version says to have dominion over all the creatures in a sense of a governmental hierarchy or a system of power, to have an influence over or establish a guide for conduct. In other words, human beings were to be the hierarchy in the created order of the earth. We were here to be the hierarchy, to take care of God's creation and to watch over all that God had given us, to cultivate the land, to bring the earth into its fruitfulness that God had purposed it for, and to experience all that God had provided for us. In Psalm chapter 8, which is later quoted in Hebrews 2, David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. He's talking about human beings. Who are we that God should even consider us? When He considers all God's great creation, who am I that God would even be mindful of me? I'm lower than the angels, but yet, in a way, crowned with glory and honor because I'm part of that hierarchy of taking care of God's creation. God has given me a special task to be a caretaker. And when I fulfill this task, I'm showing respect to God and honor to God in taking what He's given me to do seriously. I'm taking it to heart. Well, the question is, why did God do this? Well, what was this big idea behind this, that God would do this? God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit and with seed in it, they'll be yours for food. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. It was very good. This is the first time we read the word very good. You see, we find that it was God's desire to create human beings, because He wants us here. He wants us here. Let's create them in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over all that I've created. He wants us here. He purposed for us to be part of his creation. Why? He saw that everything he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. He was expressing his goodness. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he rested. When God created human beings, man and woman, his creative revelation and glory was final. It was final. It was like putting the icing on the cake when human beings were created. In Psalm 19, verses 1 and 6, David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." In other words, God's creation reveals his glory to every human being on this earth, that God exists, that all this came from somewhere, and that somewhere is from God, including human beings. So we say, where did I come from? A king from God. What's my purpose? To take care of God's creation and to respect my God who's put me here. Why did God do this? It's because he wanted me here. He wants us here. It was his desire. It was his desire. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it tells us that the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "I know that a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." So the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, tells us that the best thing we can do here is enjoy what God's given us. And when we do, it glorifies God. Because that's our purpose in being here, to enjoy what God's given us. "I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. We may eat and drink and find satisfaction in our toil." Contentment is what he's talking about. Contentment with all creation and what God's given us as human beings here on earth and what God's asked us to do. We came from God. Our purpose is to take care of God's creation. And when we do, we glorify God. And why do we do this? Because it was God's desire for it to be this way. In the 1640s, there was a group of English and Scottish clergymen that got together, hopefully to bring the Church of England and the Church of Scotland in closer relationship together. They assembled in what's known as the Westminster Assembly, and they produced three different documents of faith, referred to as the Westminster Standards. It was the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the Westminster Larger Catechism. Now, the Shorter Catechism that they drew up was designed to educate the people in matters of doctrine and belief. In the catechisms, let's just say confirmation class, the kids came and we explored these various theological questions. They did it with a confession of faith, asking questions, giving answers, and backing it up with Scripture. The number one question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What is our purpose here? Why were we created? What is the number one end of all of us? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." You see, folks, God's creative works reveal God's glory. If you're a good artist, you paint a picture. It reveals your gifts, your abilities, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a big bang that just happened. It wasn't a whim in the boring time of his life. It was a deliberate act of Almighty God for God's glory and God's glory alone and nothing else. It wasn't so we could be here on earth and party and have a good time and just enjoy, you know, sit back and drink and do nothing. That's following the fleshly desires that Paul talks about and we'll be talking about in the next few weeks. It was God's purpose for God's glory and His glory alone. He didn't owe anyone anything. He wasn't pressured. He wasn't obligated. He wanted to. Because He wanted to make a statement of His glory. He wanted to make a statement of His glory. I want you to think about that for a second. You are a statement of God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. You see, a lot of folks are living these days with a sense of life is about me. It's about me. God created me so I could enjoy myself here. And it's all about me and what I believe and what I think. And I have to take care of number one. You know what that's called? That's called existentialism. And that brings no glory to God whatsoever. And part of the divine statement that God has made is you and I. You and I. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is good and all that He does is good. In verse 31 it says that after He created man and woman, completing the creation, He saw it and it was very good, implying that creation was full of intense or strong passion. God didn't sit back and say, oh yes, I guess. I think I'll create man and woman. This is kind of a boring world. I'll create man and woman and they can have a good time and live their life out. There was intense and strong passion when God created human beings. And in the completeness of the creation, you and I were purposefully created to glorify God, not only in our job as caretakers of the earth, but in our very being, our nature, our character above all other created things. We're going to talk about how we can do that in the next few weeks. When I start to think that God owes me anything at all, what a fool I become. I'm literally telling God, get off the throne. That's mine. The life I have, no matter my lot, the Bible teaches this, the life that I have, no matter what my lot is, no matter what I have, is for one purpose and one purpose alone, to be a living testimony of the existence and power and majesty and love of the God who created me. Had it not been for Him, if it were not for Him now, I would have no existence whatsoever. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. My life is a living hell. How can I glorify God in my life? I remember a few years ago, Marge Fry had said to me several times, I'm just a big trouble to everybody. I don't know why I'm still here. I'm ready to go home. And I looked at her and I said, Marge, do you still pray? She said, oh yes. I pray for the church every day. I pray for you, Pastor Mike. And I said, Marge, that's why you're here. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. And I said, there's a lot of people in that church that are not praying. I don't care how old you are. God has you here for a reason. And if that reason is nothing more than to pray for His church, then you do it till the day you die. It's interesting, a lot of times elderly people in their final years are wondering why they're even here, why God has them here. It doesn't matter what state we're in. Folks, if we are expressing our faith, some of the older folks of our parish with all kinds of problems lift me up every time I talk to them, because there they are, suffering, struggling, scared, sick. And the words that come out of their mouth are absolutely glorifying to God. They don't know what God's doing, but they know they can trust God. They know God's by their side, and they give thanks to God in the situation they're in. That's really fulfilling. our purpose here on this earth. As the psalmist says, when I consider my existence, O Lord, when I consider my existence, O Lord, walking in those snow squalls, feeling like Adam and Eve, I feel like the only person on this earth. Why am I here, God? Why am I here? If I were the only person on this earth, it would be terrifying. When I consider my existence, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Think about this week. You are part of God's divine statement of His glory and power. Let's pray. Our living and loving God, amidst things that we can